A lot of folks, again, hitting us up saying, Dukeson Bell, that's kind of steep. I mean, what are we basing these fines off of? Ask the league, will you?
Well, like, and it gets pretty funny. A Florida man who follows us really has some funny tweets from time to time. He wrote, the only thing he did wrong was not secure. Talk about Jeff Ulbrich. A company slash organizational device with sensitive data on it. He goes, personally, a written reprimand that he understands the importance of tech security will follow security standards is generally the most punishment you would get in the corporate world. I said, yes.
That's true.
I said, in the real world, yes. I said, but... And by the way, other players were pranked that no one's talking about. I said, but in a world where ESPN, Carl, has turned the Shedeur Sanders draft free fall into the greatest crime conspiracy since the JFK assassination, you just knew the league was going to get their pound of flesh out of this one. And that's why we are where we are.
Well, yes, because they continue to bang the drum. And when you have the attention and the media attention that this was getting, and I'm not saying it was right or wrong. I'm just saying, like, there would have been some teams that would have, this bit would have been a report and it would have gone away.
Right.
And you feel like, for whatever reason, because of the circumstances, that they continue to bang the drum. But listen, Abdul Carter gets a call and, you know, this prank call is like, yeah, it's from the Jags. We're from the Jaguars. And you're like, oh, okay. To Mike's point, a lot of these other calls, that who did this stuff? What are we talking about? Who else was involved? Like, what? We're not getting all of that. So either way, the NFL has set the precedent, and they're basically saying moving forward, and these fines can be bigger, by the way, for the next person or the next time this happens, but this is the baseline. If this happens, Mike, to your team and your coach is irresponsible with securing this kind of information, this is what you're looking at, $350,000. $250 for the team, $100 for the coach involved. And that's kind of what the NFL said today.
But again, if this was Cooper DeJean, no way. No way, no how. But this thing has become, again, what ESPN, Carl talked about it, ABC, everybody, anybody who had the draft coverage, the ratings were through the roof, NFL Network. The day three that only the hardcore fans watch got the casual viewer to watch over the Shedeur Sanders free fall. So, it's a different story. It's completely different, but it's almost like, okay. You know, for the idiots who basically, you know, listen to some of the hyperbole that they spew on some of these shows, it's like, well, okay, well, that makes it all right now. Give me a freaking break. Get some perspective on this, man. Come on.
Zach Robinson also speaking to the media. I want to hear what he has to say, and we'll play it for you coming up a little bit later on in the show. Stay there. If you missed our interview with Cody Benjamin, great stuff from him on the draft and the Falcons as we continue to recap and talk to different people. It's all about what people are saying and thinking about our team and what they think about what we did. By the way, most people, again, think we did a really good job.
Right.
Right? This is in a situation where people are hitting us up and saying, oh, man, you know what? The Falcons, what were they thinking? This was a situation where, Mike, I feel like not only needs were fit, or, you know, at least they drafted for needs, but also the players we got. They're high-quality players that we ended up getting in the third and fourth round, and I think that's something else that people are pointing out. And, by the way, we haven't even really talked about the seventh-round offensive lineman. You said it. Maybe he's a depth piece.
Right.
But he played a lot of big-time football. Maybe he can come in here and help in ways that we didn't imagine. Maybe be a rotational guy, ultimately. Maybe a replacement down the road. But those are the kind of things, Mike, if you hit it out of the park, you have a draft like this where you are going to get contributions from all four of your top players in the seventh-round pick. You just kind of roll the dice and hope that he can play and fit in some way.
Hey, I mean, as we said, I mean, Brock Purdy, you know, for every Brock Purdy and Tom Brady, there's thousands of guys that obviously don't make. Same thing goes for even fifth-rounders like Grady Jarrett.
Right.
But sometimes you get that guy, and, like, anytime I can take a big dude from Wisconsin, well, other than maybe Peter Kahns, it was drafted by Dimitrov back in the day, usually you get a big stud from Wisconsin, you're going to get a guy that should hopefully stick with the team.
All right, guys, more to get to. Right now, let's get to 4th-and-1.
It's time for 4th-and-1 on Dukeson Bell.
First down, let's get this right now.
All the NFL news and notes you need as we drive for the touchdown on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do you believe in any way that J.J. McCarthy will not be the starter in Minnesota this season?
He's got to be the guy, right? Unless this, I mean, the Aaron Rodgers, the Minnesota thing kind of died on the vine, has it or has it not? Because, you know, the coach was kind of trying to play both sides of it. You know, he believes in J.J. McCarthy, but he seemed like he was always keeping that door open a crack for Aaron Rodgers to come to Minnesota.
I think so too, Mike. I do think they left the door open. I think part of that was maybe draft strategy as well. Mm. Teams thinking, oh, they're going to do this, and maybe they might be interested in trading. What's the value? And they had maybe some conversations. Either way, J.J. McCarthy has finally spoke. Here's what he said.
I know I'm ready to start because all the work I put in and just the confidence in my skills and abilities, you know, I have a tremendous coaching staff, a tremendous group of guys around me that I can lean on and they can lean on me.
Okay.
Now, a month ago, O'Connell said two things can be true at the same time. He said, JJ, this is literally a month ago. JJ, we took him 10th in the draft last year after a very extensive evaluation process. A lot of things we hope to see from him we saw in a short amount of time. And he got injured. And the second part of that is true, that Aaron Rodgers is a four-time NFL MVP. This, again, this is a month ago. And somebody who we've all had so much respect for competing against. So, you know, it's just, they want to have their cake and eat it too with this one. They want to pump up J.J. McCarthy. Remember, don't forget, O'Connell and Minnesota have also said, you know, McCarthy, you know, it looks like you put the pounds on there, Spark. You got to lay off that devil's food cake when you're injured.
Are you saying he looked plump?
Not my words. It was reported up in Minnesota that they were kind of getting on him to get with the program on his conditioning.
Don't tour him.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Look, it's interesting.
Are you body shaming J.J. McCarthy?
I would never, but you know, Mike, when your leg is hurt and you're not having to play, you do snack a lot.
I mean, look, you got your leg up. I mean, seriously, what are you going to do? You're going to play Call of Duty and eat some ho-hos, man.
That's all you're going to do. I think McCarthy's going to be the starter. Meanwhile, Mike Borgonzi is the general manager for the Titans. This is what he's trying to sell us, at least right now, about Cam Ward competing with Will Levis.
There's going to be competition in every room, and he elevates the competition in that room. That's what we're trying to do here as we get into training camp, is have the best 90-man roster, best competition in every room, and Will certainly provides that.
Stop fooling yourself. Just say it. I mean, look, you saw Will Levis the last year. You know what the deal is, and you wouldn't have taken Cam Ward if you felt that confident.
Right.
I get it, Mike. We got to have guys that compete, but this is bullcorn.
No, man, and it's funny. You know, the only game where Will Levis looked like he belonged to the NFL was the game you and I were up in Nashville for.
Terrible. Terrible. Four touchdowns.
Man, he lit us up. It's like Brett Favre's coming out party in Green Bay, right? Looked amazing. You know, it was terrible last year with the Chiefs. Who was the wide receiver?
Oh, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, D-Hop was lighting us up, man. Yeah, that was Will Levis' best game as a pro against us.
Yeah.
And ever since then, been downhill. That guy milked a mayonnaise deal from Hellman's. You believe that?
Yeah, but didn't he put mayonnaise in his coffee or something like that? Is that what it is?
He likes mayonnaise. Yeah.
I like coffee. I don't like mayonnaise in my coffee.
I like olive oil too, but don't do it like Shaq.
That's true. It will put you down. Right. Hey, man, Chris Carter talking about Shedeur Sanders. It's 4th and 1 brought to you by friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. How much money does he think Shedeur lost in this process?
Let me tell you what he understands today,
okay?
He ain't running. Okay?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what. They taught him a great lesson.
Okay.
Like, you don't have this figured out. Your dad don't have this figured out.
Who's they? NFL?
Shedeur?
The world? No, who taught you? Said they taught him. I'm just curious. Like,
well, the system.
The system. Okay,
there's
the
a system out there, man.
Okay.
Like, you're going for a job interview. So for his job interview, he was so concerned about, what his outfit was. His necklace was over $100,000. He hadn't even convinced people that you're the face of our franchise. Matter of fact, he had convinced people that they were better off going in a different direction, even with people who had lesser talent. That's the rub he put on the people.
That's the case? That's a bad interview, bro.
No, it is the case. He didn't get drafted right. It's no speculation. Like, we're through the draft. We're through 3 days. He threw away at least $30 to $50 million.
He's not lying. And that's the difference between being a high-profile quarterback taken in the first round, starting day one, Mike, and what life affords you for being in that position. Now, some of you are going to say, well, Dukes, he'll get that back. No, you don't. You don't get back $30 or $40 million off the top. Charles Barkley said it best. Like, if you make $35 million and they offer you $30 million, there's not that much difference I can do with $30 million that I can't do with $35. If I told you just lost between $30 and $50 million, regardless of what you make the rest of your career, that is hard to recoup, Mike. So with the slide, it also affected his earning potential because, again, you still have to become a star in this league to have that earning potential. And by the way, we talk about guys like Lamar. How many commercials y'all seen Lamar on? He's a 2-time MVP.
Right.
He is a star, a legitimate star in this league. It doesn't always translate that you're going to be able to make that money back.
Nope. And in this case, as we said, you could argue that he will be able to, as we said, kind of a Mike Tyson punch out in the quarterback room of Cleveland, like leapfrog Dylan Gabriel, you know, Pickett, you're not, he'll basically backhand pick it. And hopefully, you know, Stefanski and his staff, the only thing you got to do is get the ball's got to come out quicker. The good news is he's going to a good offensive line. You know, I mean, certainly better than, I mean.
Well, Stefanski's a good coordinator. I mean, he really is.
They've done some things right in Cleveland despite their idiot owner. They've had some good draft picks. They've got good pieces. I mean, they're moving on from Chubb because of unbearable, terrible luck with injuries. But they're still a quality team. So you're right. Hopefully, like, I'll be pulling for the guy. I like Deion. I just think, you know, Chris Carter is like a breath of fresh air and common sense. Just call it what it is. How does it become a victim? Could you argue? Yeah, of course, getting pranked. You're a victim of a bad prank call, and that's terrible and just dumb. We already covered that. But you also overplayed your hand. And I'm sorry, Mel Kiper can have all the conniptions and mini strokes he wants. You know, maybe the people felt it was a combination of you had him overvalued in the draft as far as where the quarterbacks are. I still think he's better than Jackson Dart. I still think he's better than Shark. But I mean, but you put yourself into a spot that, you know, there's got to be personal responsibility in this world on some level. And it's like it's taking a holiday in this scenario.
It's true. And that is part of this discussion as we move forward. But I love what Chris Carter had to say. It's not just, you know, the lesson being taught, right. But you just lost out on a lot of money. And again, to Mike's point about Arthur Blank, well, he's got it. It doesn't matter how much money your dad has. Ultimately, it is about earning your way, Mike, and becoming your own guy. Shador can only ride his dad's coattails for so long. Mike, what kind of quarterback is he going to be, and what kind of quarterback are we going to judge him as? That's right. What's going to happen in the NFL. Yes, we know he's Deion's son. But at some point, he's going to have to stand on his own too, man, and say, you know what? He is a dude that has taken X team to the playoffs multiple times, Super Bowl contender. That's him standing on his own.
I mean, we said it. Do I think there's teams that had an agenda, which sure, I think, yeah. I mean, preconceived notions, regardless of how he conducted himself in interviews. I think that I'm not naive to think that doesn't exist in the NFL. We saw Lamar Jackson fall all the way to 32.
Yeah.
You know, but still, there's also things that they did to themselves.